Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would like to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're coming to the conclusion of our month on faith. And boy, has it been a great great discussion, a great month.
Yeah, thankfully, all we needed was 1 month to cover the whole subject.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Faith is just the most amazing thing in the Word of God. And it's so important for us to really grasp what faith is, because that's our way of life. Mm-hmm. It is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So grace is what God extends to us in Jesus. It was his work to make us alive together with Christ. It's his work to forgive our sins, to redeem us, to reconcile us, to justify us, to give us a new identity, to put his Spirit into our hearts. That's the grace part of it. And we receive all that through faith. And that's how we're to live as believers as well. We are to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. And as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, we see his life being lived out through us. So this is so important. And we have a hard time with it. And because we have a hard time, we tend to substitute rules and regulations for faith. So good Christians do X, Y, and Z. Good Christians do A, B, and C. That's what good Christians do. Well, what are those? Well, they're just a series of rules and regulations that somebody has laid out there for us to follow. Has absolutely nothing to do with faith in Jesus Christ.
Correct.
And that's the way of life. Faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting him for who he is. Trusting him for what he accomplished 2,000 years ago. And trusting him to live his life through you right here and now as a child of God. So this faith, James kind of takes it a step further, and he adds an aspect to it I think is very, very important. And so in James chapter 2, he says this, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action or work, is dead." So James tries to quantify or qualify what this faith is all about. It's not intellectual assent to a set of facts.
Correct.
Because he goes on to say, and hey, the demons even believe that Jesus is God, but yet they shudder. Why? They don't have any operative faith in Christ. They're not trusting Christ for anything. They just know a fact about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that fact makes them shudder, because they know at some point he's going to be the judge and they're going to be the recipient of some type of judgment that he doles out. So they recognize who he is, but they shudder at that. And so faith has this component of action. It's a vibrant word. It's a vital word. It's a living word. It's not a dead word. Like I said, we all believe that Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States. Well, that's a fact. Well, that doesn't do anything for me here and now. The fact that Jesus Christ is alive, the fact that he accomplished what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago, the fact that he was God in the flesh, does everything for me today. It produces a life that I didn't have before. And how does it do that? Through faith. So faith without works is dead. Now, many people will look at this and say, hold on, wait a minute. You know, that's not what Paul said. Paul said no one would be declared righteous in the sight of God through obedience to the law. He said, hey, the one who works, he gets a wage. But that's not the way righteousness is given. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. So are these two people, or Paul and James, at odds with one another? Is there a tension in what they are trying to communicate? Is Paul saying one thing and James saying something else? And there are many people that believe that. They believe that God allowed James to put this in his letter to show that it's okay to disagree and to have this type of tension. But I don't think that's the case. I think these two are in total harmony one with another. Let me give some verses to let me show you what I mean here. So the word work is ergon. It means work or performance. We get lots of good words from that, don't we?
Yeah, ergonomics.
Yes, right, absolutely. Right there. Absolutely. So we see this word in Jesus' high priestly prayer. Mm-hmm. He says, I have completed the work that you have given me to do. So in that context, the work is the work of God the Father that he has assigned Jesus Christ the Son to accomplish. So who initiated the work?
The Father.
God the Father did. Who carried it out? Jesus Christ the Son. How did he do that? Through dependence upon his Father.
Yes.
So that's how the work of the Father is carried out, through dependence, through faith. Faith, as far as Jesus was concerned, through faith in his Father. As far as we're concerned, through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Lord has work for us to accomplish. How is that accomplished? As we walk in dependence upon Jesus in exactly the same way he walked in dependence upon his Father. We see in 1 Corinthians 15:58, a great passage on the resurrection. And Paul comes to the end of that and says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Let nothing move you away from the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, that he was raised from the dead and now lives in you. Don't let anything move you away from that truth. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Yes. So whose work is it? It's the Lord's work. So what in the world is James talking about? Faith without works. Whose work? The Lord's work through you, through faith. Yes. That's what he's talking about. And then in the book of Ephesians, just the great passage, the, I think, seminal passage in the New Testament as far as by grace through faith in Jesus, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we know that. But we very seldom read verse 10. And in verse 10 we see, for we are God's handiwork or workmanship. That Greek word is poema. So that's the word we get our word poem. So we're a poem that God has written for the world to see. And then he goes on to say, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what are these works? They are God's works that he's prepared in advance for us to do, carried out through faith in Jesus Christ. So if these works, this life of Christ, isn't being spelled out in and through us, maybe we step back and say, have I really fully believed? Have I just given myself to a set of facts, or have I trusted the Lord Jesus? It's a big difference.
Oh, it sure
a
is.
Huge difference. And James is simply pointing out what genuine faith looks like. There's one other passage, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. It says that we are to, in fear and trembling, work out our salvation. And then it goes on to say, because it is God who is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that word work there is a different word, but it has the same root. It just has a prefix on it, which means to work out. So he's using the verb form of this word work here in this, and then he adds a prefix to it, so it means to work out. So what are we working out? What God has worked in. That's what this is all about. So James and Paul aren't at odds with one another. They're on the same page. When Paul said the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, James is putting some handles on what that looks like.
Yeah. That's good stuff, Bob. Thank you. This is Basic Gospel, where you hear good things every day. We have plenty of open lines. We'd like for you to join the conversation. 844-322-2742. Again, Open lines, 844-322-2742. Calls on the board already. We'll go there in just a moment. But I wanted to ask you, friends, have you signed up yet for our new daily devotional? It's called Hear, Believe, Live, and it's delivered straight to your inbox every morning. Hear, Believe, Live will connect you to the love of Jesus Christ and help you walk in His grace each and every day. To sign up, all you need to do is go to basicgospel.net. Why not do it right now while you're thinking about it? The new Hear, Believe, Live devotional, again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Sacramento, California, and talk to Jose, listening to us on KFIA. Hi, Jose.
Hello there. How you doing?
We're doing well. Welcome to Basic Gospel. What's on your mind today?
Well, today it's been on my mind for a while. I always forget to ask this question when I listen to all the wonderful topics you guys got going on, but today this time it's stuck, and now I'm ready to ask it. But I've been walking with the Lord for a good 6-7 years now, and I feel like I feel like I'm truly ready to receive Him as in baptismal form. You know, I've accepted Him in my heart. I know He knows my heart is His, and I feel like, okay, so I have a pastor friend, and I asked him, hey, would you baptize me? Because I asked him first, what does it take to be baptized, or who does it baptize in? And from what I understood, and from scriptures, just a priest, an ordained priest, and a willing participant who's ready to hand his life over. Well, I feel like I fit those criteria as far as, I'm ready to surrender. I've actually been surrendered already. I know that Jesus says the act of baptism is good for us all. And so my question boils down to, when you ask a pastor, is there any reason that he might sit on his hands or, take his time on, or maybe I haven't received the answer from him, and it's been like a couple months now, and I'm kind of concerned for him as a pastor, as if he's, I know we all struggle and with our faith and in our confidence in our faith or in our diligence in our faith. So I don't know what's going on here as far as that goes, but I was just wondering what would it, is there something that I'm not looking at?
Well, Jose, let me jump in, and I'm going to get to that question in just a minute, but I want to start with something different. I'm going to read a couple of passages to you, and in verse 5 of Acts chapter 1, here's what Luke wrote: "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So we have something going on here. The baptism that's important is the baptism by the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John Amen. Baptized with water, Jesus baptizes with the Spirit. So that's an important thing to make note of. And then in Romans,
the water being the symbolization of actual the act of Jesus did.
That's right.
So, yeah, I totally understand that, and I feel like go ahead.
So in Romans 6, Paul gives an explanation to that. He says in verse 3, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So when you come to Christ by faith, Jose, you are baptized by the Spirit, placed into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So you come out of that fully alive in Christ, ready to live this new life that you've been raised to walk in. So that's the baptism that's really important. Now we celebrate. We celebrate that spiritual baptism. We can celebrate that spiritual baptism by our public water baptism.
Yes.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with receiving Him.
I fully understand so far. Like I said, I know God knows my heart, and I know mine, and I know that I've already accepted Him, and it's been a long time. And so I understand that I am fully baptized. I've been granted the seal of the Holy Spirit just by faith alone. And I understand this, but like I'm just trying to see, did God call on me to ask this particular pastor to baptize me to maybe maybe show him some things he might have issues with on as far as why he's not jumping on the opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, now, I have no earthly idea.
As a pastor, when you have the opportunity to introduce someone or, you know, to help, you know, feed their faith, I think that's, you know, their utmost obligation, you know. But when...
Well, Jose, I don't know what's going on in the pastor's mind there. I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe, you know, your request went in one ear and out the other, and he hadn't thought about it since. I have no earthly idea, but I would pick up the phone or go talk with him and find out what's going on. Remind him that you asked to go through water baptism, that you would like to make a public...
Is this something he would be obligated to do because I asked?
No.
Not necessarily, but he should. I mean, it's a wonderful tool. I mean, if he's a pastor, you want people to celebrate what Christ has done in their lives, and you want the body of believers to witness that and to be joyful to celebrate with you. And so there's, you know, if he has reluctance, I don't know why he would have a reluctance. But if I'm in your shoes, I simply pick up the phone and say, hey, I talked with you a couple of months ago. I would really like to move forward and go through water baptism. Please let me know when I can set up a time to do that and just see what he says. And if he's reluctant, I would ask, why are you reluctant? What's going on? Why would you say no to this? And just find out what's happening there.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's more of maybe what's going on here is just maybe God's actually calling me to my brother to maybe kind of make him see what's going on in his mind and check on a brother in a sense like, you know, hey, this is your job. You shouldn't be joyful to do this and, you know, willing to do this. I don't know. So yeah, I think that's a great way to approach him. I'm gonna go ahead and give him a call and see where his mind is, see where his heart is. Thank you again.
Hey, thank you, Jose. Thanks for your call. Let us know. Keep us posted, okay?
All right. Indeed. 844-322-2742. Some time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, let's go to Clay listening to us in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Bob and Richard. How y'all doing?
Hey, Clay.
Fine.
I wanted to let Richard know right off, my wife and I listened to the Legalism CD last night. What's the title again, Richard?
The High Cost of Legalism.
Yeah, that's a appropriate name. I really liked it. I really liked the part about the when you went into the when a man sins against his own flesh, because that's really, I believe, a lot of mystery why that sin is it's kind of separated from all other sin like that, it's something introspective to the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I think you covered it well. And if anybody's ever wondered about that, in is it 1 Corinthians 6? This is an excellent resource to, that explains a lot of that, because I've heard that stuff twisted about all those sins and stuff in 1 Corinthians and used in more in legalism than I have in grace.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the whole point of that passage is that we as members of the body of Christ should be able to deal with each other in love and respect and restore relationships. But when you're going to the world to get worldly solutions for spiritual problems, you're going to be bringing those worldly problems into the church. And in the sexual sins that he talks about are so serious because they are sins of identity. I mean, the child of God has a unique, positive, powerful identity. And when you give in to the world system in terms of sexuality and all the rest of that stuff, you are damaging yourself as a child of God and damaging the church as the body of Christ. And there's more hell to pay for that kind of thing, not God's judgment, but the results of giving into the world system than just about any other thing that comes down the pike.
Because it really taps into those emotions of fear and guilt and shame, And out of those, you're trying to do something to appease God or to get mm-hmm. back into God's good graces or to please others.
Yes.
Try to get him back into their good graces, and that forces legalism on you. And boy, you're just going down the wrong path at that point. And if somebody is involved in some type of sexual sin, what is the answer to that? It is, you know, coming to grips with what Christ has accomplished, the fact that forgiveness is there, the fact that there's power in the resurrected Christ, the ability to say no, not through strength of will, but through humility and faith.
Yes.
Being able to say, Lord, I am trusting your life in and through me, that you're going to shape me and direct me and to renew my mind and equip me to say no to the things of this world and yes, because there is no greater contentment found in life than through faith in Jesus. So that's how you get out of those sort of things. But that's a process, isn't it?
Yes. Hey, and Bob, I know we only have two more days on this, and I listened all month long, and it's been really good. I find with me, my biggest problem with faith is ceasing from my own works and laboring into his rest, the labor of entering into his rest. And it can be a work in itself, and of not going out there and either trying to establish your righteousness by your own work or give God a helping hand with we sold a house recently, and I told Jeannie, I said, I'm not, we were going to list it. I said, I'm not going to list this house. I don't have peace about it yet. And we kept praying, and I said, it wasn't so much.
Well, it looks like we lost Clay there, but we will continue the conversation. I think that's an important point that he brings up, Richard, and the fact that, you know, we're so in tune to achievements, mm-hmm. You know, setting a goal, accomplishing a goal, then we feel good about ourselves. You know, guys particularly.
Yeah.
You know, I coached my daughters in softball and a couple of things, and, you know, for my daughters and for girls in general, they needed to feel good about themselves before they performed well. Guys, it's just completely the opposite. We need to perform well so that we can feel good about ourselves. So if we win, we're just, hey, we're awesome, you know, and we get that chest and poke it out, and we're just somebody special. If we lose, we just go down in the gutter. And so we're equipped to manage life that way, to achieve, to try to reach goals, perform. We want, you know, our dads to approve us. So we do all of these things, and we lay them at his feet and say, what do you think of me now? Hoping that we will get good, yes. You know, good approval from him.
Oh, nope, not good enough.
Yeah, not good enough. I said, well, if I'd have done it, I would have done it this way. And then you just, you just feel awful. But that's kind of our DNA, our natural DNA. And that's why faith is such a difficult thing for us to grasp, because we're not used to simply trusting what Christ has already accomplished for us. We're not used to receiving by grace. We're not used to that, but that's what faith is all about, receiving what the Lord has already done, resting in what Jesus has accomplished. There was a work that God the Father had for him. He didn't have that work for us. There was no way that we could redeem ourselves. There's no way that we could forgive ourselves. There's no way that we could make ourselves alive in Christ. That was a work that was on Jesus' shoulders and on his shoulders alone. And he accomplished that work. There's nothing more for us to do except rest and to say thank you. That's the work of faith in Christ.
Absolutely. You know, friends, at Basic Gospel, our heart, as always, is to connect you with the love of Jesus Christ and to help you walk in his grace every day. That's why we created the brand new Hear, Believe, Live daily devotional. It's a dynamic, Bible-based devotional delivered straight to your inbox every day and will help you experience the love, grace, and life that's yours in Jesus Christ. We are indeed excited to be a part of helping you hear, believe, and live the Word of God. Visit BasicGospel.net to have it delivered right to your inbox every single day. BasicGospel.net. Hear, believe, and live. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.